This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. I'm Wong Xiaoning with Lin Mark, and this is The Morning Run. It has just gone past 7:06 in the morning, Friday the 13th of November. And in about 15 minutes, we'll be speaking to Shirley Tay, president of the Malaysia Retail Chain Association, on what Budget 2021 had to offer the industry. But before that, markets. Because in the US, it was a bit of a red day. The Dow closed down 1.1%. The NASDAQ was down 0.7%, while the S&P 500 closed down 1%. Meanwhile, in Asia, the Nikkei 225 closed up 0.7%. Shanghai Composite closed down 0.1%. Hang Seng was down 0.2%. Straits Times Index was down 0.1%, while Malaysia, we were the outperformer because we closed up 1.3%. So for some insights on global markets, we're turning to Jeffrey Halley, Senior Market Analyst at Owenda. Good morning, Jeffrey. Now, the initial rotation trade into cyclicals is clearly starting to lose momentum and yield curves are steepening. Why is that happening? Are markets actually getting nervous?
Yeah, well, I'd say the yield curves are steepening because the market is pricing in higher inflation due to higher consumption post-virus sort of distribution. So more people out spending equals higher prices equals higher inflation. So we're seeing a lot of pressure on the long end of bond curves to reflect that, although I'm quite dubious about the longevity of that, to be honest. As far as the equities go, you've hit the nail on the head there. We saw this giant rush when that first Pfizer announcement came out, and what we've seen then is a failing in momentum after that, and the momentum waning. So this is a very short term move, though, I think, and I think it reflects the importance of not getting caught up in short term market noise.
So, Jeffrey, does this then mean that for the moment you are still into some of these technology and work from home themes because those are the ones which you can see a sustainability in your earnings?
Yeah, look, I don't disagree with the rotation. I probably disagree with the scale of the rotation. I mean, it was biblical in size when you see some of the price adjustments that we saw around the world. They priced in 2 years worth of rotation in about 30 minutes after the announcement came out. I still think that underlyingly for longer term investors, that these big tech stocks are still hugely strong businesses, that they're printing cash, they're very profitable, and they're still growing. And that's not going to change after, you know, we see this vaccines come through to the market and it's around the world, hopefully in 2021. I think the pace of growth may mollify. They're all quite richly valued at the moment, and there's probably room for them to retreat in the near term. But longer term, I still think they're sound businesses.
Okay, and related to that is the general economy or the broader economy, because what we have seen is the rising virus cases in the US and in Europe. Now, there's a question mark as to whether we might actually face a double dip recession. So, you know, we've had many alphabets to describe the economy. Do you think it's a W-shaped one now?
Well, if it is going to be a W-shaped one, I think it's going to be an uneven one. So the right-hand W bit is going to be shallower than the left-hand. So I think we are definitely going to see some flow through into the data that's inevitable, particularly from Europe, to a lesser extent from the United States, as these cases resurge so strongly around the world. But the impact this time around is going to be less than the shock impact of sort of the March to May period. So, yes, I do believe that we are going to see a slowdown, but it's not going to be on the same level as it was earlier in the year, because the world is better prepared for managing cases. And also there's a real resistance now to completely closing the economies. Socially, I think governments are going to really struggle to impose hard lockdowns now on most countries around the world.
So, Jeffrey, is the place to hide still in Asia then? I mean, we are seeing economic growth, especially coming out of China.
Yeah, look, I do believe Asia was going to outperform when the economic recovery really started gaining momentum. And I think it's going to continue to outperform this year as well, even in this pandemic, simply because a lot of the major sort of industrialized parts of Asia have actually got COVID-19 quite strongly under control. And we're talking China, We're talking Vietnam, we're talking North Korea, Taiwan, etc. So I'm still quite upbeat on Asia, and I think it's going to be the place to be in 2021.
And is that the same case for currencies though? Do you think Asian currencies are looking like a safe haven from the weak US dollar? Which ones are you bullish on and how long will you hold on to them?
Yeah, I'm actually been upbeat on Asian currencies for a while now. With the US particularly still looking to have 0% interest rates for a long time to come, and with no fiscal stimulus to come from the US, monetary policy will have to carry that load. That means lower for longer rates. That will be negative for the dollar. That'll be positive for Asian currencies. We've seen Northern Asian currencies outperform yuan, won, Taiwanese dollar. These currencies have done very, very well. Yen to a lesser extent. I think the gains there will slow and we may see more value in those currencies that have underperformed in Asia, and we're talking here your Singapore dollars, Malaysian ringgits, possibly even the Indonesian rupiah. As the world's economy recovers in 2021, they've probably got a bigger upside percentage-wise than those that are already well-established on those bullish trends.
All right, thank you for your time. That was Jeffrey Halley at Owenda giving us his views as to where Asia Asia should continue to outperform the rest of the region. There is definitely growth coming out of this region compared to the likes of Europe. He mentioned, I think the COVID-19 cases are quite severe there, and the implication of the lockdown will really be felt on the economy. What were your key takeaways, Lynn?
Yeah, I think, Jeffrey is still very upbeat on Asia, right? But I think I was most amused by how he described the rotation into cyclicals that we've been seeing. So he doesn't necessarily disagree with the rotation itself so much as he doesn't think that the, and I quote, biblical size of it has been warranted. So he's still pretty, firm on his tech stocks. He still thinks that the fundamentals there are still sound and that even post-pandemic, there will still be a case for them, which I think, we are seeing. The tech stocks have been rallying quite significantly, and there is some consideration, particularly since the pandemic, post-pandemic, a lot of people view the pandemic as having been a catalyst to a lot of to encouraging a lot of a digital uptake. So there does seem to be a case for it indeed.
Yeah, definitely. I think it has accelerated many trends. Mm-hmm. E-commerce being one, digitalization being one, multi-platform retail being another one. But it has also caused a lot of companies to change their focus. And one of them is, of course, Disney, because Disney is well known for its theme parks and studios. But that's a different case today. So anyway, Disney released its fourth quarter earnings and it exceeded expectations on its revenue, which was $14.7 billion versus the street that was expecting 14.2. Now, losses were also less drastic than anticipated. The bright spot, as we say, was streaming, because now the service has more than 73 million paid subscribers versus market expectations of 66 million people. And it's currently only present in about 30 countries. And when you compare that with Netflix, they are present in 190 countries and they have 195 million subscribers.
But, all is not rosy with Disney, because their parks have unsurprisingly taken quite the hit due to COVID-19. So that has forced temporary closures or limited capacities. Disney estimates that the net adverse impact of the pandemic on the parks division operating income was about $2.4 billion in the fourth quarter. Studio entertainment revenue was also down 52% on year, since Disney had no significant worldwide releases. The concern, of course, is that this could also be the start of a long-term decline of cinema.
Yeah, I think their studio earnings, like you say, down 52%. Mulan, which was their big release, turned out to be a bit of a disappointment. They were charging people $35 to watch a show, and the movie cost $350 million to make. Now, apparently, if you look through the quarterly results, there's no mention of it, indicating that perhaps this was a bit of a disappointment that they don't want to highlight. But Disney, nonetheless, if you look at the performance on a year-to-date basis, considering how bad the theme parks are, it's actually only down 6.3%. I think everyone is looking at recovery. And like what Jeffrey Halley mentioned earlier, you know, everybody wants to rotate into the recovery place, and Disney is clearly one of them. But up next, we'll be speaking to Shirley Thay, president of the Malaysia Retail Chain Association, on Budget 2021. Stay tuned for that, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.